going back to our favourite question.
Yes.
Why wasn't there an industrial, an agricultural revolution here in the same way that there was in Europe?
If you'd looked at the world in 1600, you'd seen a valley like this right through Asia. You'd see things like this, rice growing peacefully. If you'd looked at Europe, you'd have seen wheat fields and later on maize fields. And yet, if you look at the situation 300 or 400 years later, here you see rice fields, which are being looked after in exactly the same way. They're still cutting with tiny little sickles. They're still, in this case, not even using a plough. So nothing has changed really, except a slight improvement in the quality of the grain. And yet in Europe, there's been a fundamental revolution, the replacement of human labor by machinery, by tractors later on. Why did this happen? Why was there this difference? Well, it seems, if you boil it down to the simplest part of it, to be that rice is a crop which it's very difficult to mechanize. If you want to improve your rice production, you apply more and more human labor to it. You plant more carefully, you weed more carefully. And so you began to get more and more rice and good quality rice. So it's a very good idea to build up your population. But there's no point really in trying to mechanize it. The terraces are often too small and you don't get much advantage from that. Whereas with wheat, in England particularly, the cost of labor was high and rising. And so it made sense to think of ingenious ways of replacing human beings by machinery, to replace little sickles with large scythes, to improve ploughs, and then begin to mechanize ploughing. And so you got a divergence. And it, just in those two centuries, between about 1600 and 1800, Europe, and particularly England, had an agricultural revolution, which was the fundamental basis, the increased production of food for the industrial revolution. And most of Asia just continued more or less in a perfectly satisfactory way to grow rice. So one feels that the religious reason may be one of them, but it may also be a cover or a rationalization for other deeper reasons. One of these seems to lie in the soil. The soil here is very rich indeed, but thick clay, because it's a lake bed. And as a result, it's very difficult to plough. If you were going to plough, you'd need a very heavy plough, probably a wheeled plough, with a great big thing for turning the soil. And you would need very powerful ploughing animals, preferably horses, but you could do it with a large ox team. And therefore, unless you go the whole way towards wheeled, large, animal-intensive ploughing, you really can't turn this soil over. So it, just the simple scratch plough, which is used in all the villages around here, wouldn't really work here. So they would have had to make a tremendous leap. The other reason why, and these, all these things fit together, the other, and the third reason is the fact that the hills on which all the fodder is grown is a long way away from the middle part of the Kathmandu Valley. So if you wanted to keep animals, you'd either have to bring the fodder right from the forests, from the edges, and that would take a lot of time and effort, or you'd have to give up precious grain and vegetable land to feed the animals. Both of these things are too expensive. And so actually it makes sense to do what many civilizations did, which is to eliminate animals and do all the hard work yourself. But of course that leads you in the opposite direction to the industrialization of agriculture. In the Kathmandu Valley in Nepal, you have a particularly good example of the way in which the technologies which we think would develop don't necessarily develop. That's the case of the plough. This is in many ways quite like Europe here, because you have very rich soil, unlike most of the mountain areas, and it's fairly flat. There are quite large areas that are flat. And yet the great difference is that all the ploughing is done by human labour, by a hand plough, not by an animal plough. So why? Why, after centuries of thinking and work and knowing perfectly well about ploughs, they'd seen them in India and elsewhere, and they're used in the hills all around here, why no plough? Well, it's very intriguing, and there are three main theories. One is religious, that the great eyes on the central Buddhist temple in the Kathmandu Valley, look out over the valley, and wherever they can see, you must not plough with an ox. And if you do, you will become sick and your children will die and so on. So that's a religious reason for not doing it. To a certain extent, we seem to have solved the problem of why Europe and Asia diverged. But in many ways, they were very similar. Their technologies were very advanced, both their technologies of destruction, warfare, killing people, and their technologies of production, agriculture, and crafts. But this similarity between them throws into contrast the difference between Eurasia and the rest of the world, because about 1,000 years ago, already Eurasia was really very different from all the other continents. You wouldn't have found anything like this or what you found in Europe, in sub-Saharan Africa or South America or the Far East. So you've got another puzzle. Why was it that in the middle belt of the world you got advanced agricultural and military systems, and elsewhere, to a large extent, their absence? To a certain extent, we seem to have solved the problem of the divergence of the two ends of Eurasia, with one end developing and another moving into some kind of settled stasis, both in relation to the tools of destruction, warfare, gunpowder, and so on, and the tools of production, agriculture and crafts. So we've stressed the differences, but in many ways they were both very similar. They had both, by 1,000 years ago, reached a very high level of sophistication of agriculture and warfare. And if you had compared them then, or a little more recently, with other parts of the world, you'd have been puzzled by the fact that in sub-Saharan Africa, in Southern America, or all the Americas, and in Australia, many of the things which were now commonplace in Eurasia were absent. So there's a new puzzle. Why did Eurasia develop settled urban civilizations with the wheel and metalworking and so on and so on, in a way which is very different in its pattern from other parts of the world? In order to solve that puzzle, one really has to go back much further in time, and also to concentrate much more on two things which are very distinctive about human beings. One is their body, how they produce wealth, particularly through agriculture. And the other is their mind, how they communicate with each other, and so the development of things like writing and later on printing.